American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, November 23rd, 2009. Sam, is that date right? Is that right? November 23rd, is that right?
Let's see. Yeah, it is.
You are listening to Newsreel, the Wild Global Sit Rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And should you choose to go there, you can get there by going to sean_Kennedy, Kennedy, livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night we broadcast in Second Life, Node Archers, Grid 155-74666. And tonight with us we have Yukasaki Coronet, Talk Placido, Tackcraft, Stefan Mirages, Spider Mike Silvercloud, Smurfork, Plump Dragon Knightley, Napalm Howlett, Mr. Khan, which is me. I'm Mr. Khan. Morph Sky Tower, Mindy Starek, Methos Calamity, Mephit Gothy, Max King Kong, Yothor, Legion Ross, whatever. Kimmy Salahan, I can't, you know, give me a break, man. You know, can I buy a vowel? Iskar Riddler, GS Darkwatch, Greg Difference. See, now there's a good name, Greg Difference. Awesome. Flash Dewey Adder, Draken Ranger, DJ DJ Dally Steampunk, Don Dorbin, my beautiful talent, Colin Sumerian, Avidu Kane, AOL Neximus, Anthony Maticulin, and Anastasia Jennings were all present for the live performance of the show. And that kind of rolls off the tongue. That doesn't really, slow us down. And don't forget, we are, in fact, simulcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. And now, my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumeria.
Good evening, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I think that the... I seem to recall, and we need to be reminded of this, and for those of you who are, the rabid hardcore fans who've been charting my movements over the last 10 years, you may note that specifically, and I believe if we were to go back and check the records, it's about, I'm trying to refine to where exactly I get this really bad, crushing, I hate my life depression, which hits me every year around my birthday. And I've been talking about it. It's the October, November, December corridor. Okay, it starts about the 23rd of October on my birthday, and it goes to about the 25th of December. You know, generally,
yeah,
that's
you've talked about that through the years.
So yes.
I think it's the same time frame every year.
No, I'm trying to like get it down to the point where I can get it to the day. You know what I mean? Like, so that I can set the clock to that shit. You know, so you can be ready for it. You know, so you can be prepared. Because you're like, oh, yeah. Because I never understood that about the werewolves, right? Like, dude, you totally know that you're going to be turning into a werewolf on a full moon, right? Like, you know that shit, right?
Yeah, it's coming, right? Like, and you can chart it and put it on the calendar and mark it down.
You know, so you've got that shit nailed, right? You know that the, It's going to be werewolf time. You're going to go nuts. So why don't you, take a business trip or something.
Prepare for it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, why do you got to get caught, you know, with your pants down every single... Oh, shit, the full moon! You know?
Again?
Again, dude, no. You know, like, I don't get why that is. I think it's ridiculous. But anyways, I don't know how we got onto the full moon thing. Timing, what were we talking about here?
Seasonal defective
disorder. Right, thank you. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being a really like a quarterly werewolf. You know what I mean? So for one quarter of the year, yeah. My brain decides that, you know, oh, wait, I'm going to destroy myself, which is what today's Sort Yourself Out is all about. You were going to say
it lasts that long, a quarter of a year, 3 months?
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. But, yeah. Well, not exactly, because you got to think, like, it's actually only 2 months, because I got about 15 days, like 23, and then it's the 25th, right? So it's really
Pretty much 2 months, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of there. So the Sort Yourself Out today was completely related to that, which was, Dear Sean, I seem to have a dilemma. In my current state of being, I find myself entirely uncreative. I don't seem to have any creative outlet at all. I'm either bad or otherwise unskilled at any creative talent I try my hand at. I know you'll argue most of these points, but I can't write. I can't do any form of artwork. And I'm not musically proficient. Oh, shit. I understand that arts are subjective, but when I've sat down and tried such things, I've not enjoyed them, nor did I personally like what I ended up with. Thus, I see no reason to continue with these endeavors. Thanks, Sight Unheard. Which is actually, ironically enough, when I read this the first time, I totally thought this... this letter was about something else, which is why I have the song picked out for the end of the show, which I'm dedicating to this guy, which is even more the point, which luckily the song still works. Very much so. You see, the thing is here is that you're not entirely uncreative. You are not able to define what it is that you are creative with. Okay. There is something that you are good at. All right. There is something that you are good at. Even if that is picking boogers out of your nose, you have a talent somewhere. And within one of those things that you are good at, if you don't know what you are good at, think about what things you do that give you joy. If you have nothing that gives you joy, which you do, I cannot help you, you know, sorry. But, you know, seriously, that's what it is. And you get kind of...
He's got to enjoy something and then make that your art. I'm sure there's something that you can shape off of this enjoyable thing that you do, even if it's like a sport or anything can be creative, really.
Now, also, I don't know if this is just like a... if this was a seasonal thing, which is what I thought what he was talking about, where he said that
it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like he's tried a whole bunch of stuff, and it's like, I can't find anything. But maybe he's narrowing his scope too much to be just the creative arts, the traditional arts of, like, singing, writing.
Well, those are kind of the useless arts, aren't they? Well, not really the useless arts, but, I mean, like, maybe this brother's good at math, right? I mean, what if... Oh, yeah, I can't sing or but I figured out how to make this lightsaber... but it's just a toy. You know, like, okay, well, come on over here, my friend. You know, like, maybe your art. I mean, there's lots of people who are engineers that I would consider artists. The really great engineers are all artists.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the same goes for any kind of, any kind of engineer, really. So maybe you're a cook. You know, who knows?
Yeah,
dude?
I mean, that could be artistic.
Oh, that,
really
well,
artistic.
Jesus, yeah. You know, I mean, they're...
Art of the mouth. Right?
Yeah, well, they
art
you
of
know,
the taste.
Culinary arts, man. Like, seriously, there's, but look to where your interests are and go that route, you know? But the great thing is once you kind of know that, once you kind of figure out, then you ask yourself, you know, what is it, what kind of lifestyle do you want to have? And you move forwards with this, which, you know, I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forwards to doing some of the season 3 stuff for patrolling. I've had a couple ideas. Had an idea
you,
for another
show. You asked me to
go ahead. Oh, remind
oh,
you
really?
About McDonald about
cool.
Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald. I mean, you're talking about Coke and Costco and their big fight, and then it led to Ronald McDonald.
Well, yeah, Ronald McDonald. See, he never ages, right? That's why I think they should bring back Max Headroom, right? Because I want Max Headroom back, and he's not that complicated. I mean, you can get Ronald McDonald, but did you know that like there's a specific stencil? And, like, it's all copyrighted. Like, if you dress up like Ronald McDonald and you were to, like, actually... Because there's, like, a...
really?
Oh, yeah. It's really elaborate.
Wonder what the basic components that make up the copyright of Ronald McDonald is. It's not just the colors, because I'm sure there's other clowns that
it's
use
the
those colors.
It's the stencil of... It's the red wig, the white face, and the stencil of his face. Okay.
Okay. Yeah,
you'll never see
it's
another
the face.
Clown.
It's probably the face. Yeah.
The face and the hair together, like okay. the image. All
and that's
red
really
hair.
What makes a clown, because you look at clowns and all the faces and hair are a little bit different, right?
Of course. Yeah. Well, that's the Ronald McDonald clown, as opposed to the Red Skeleton clown, right? Which is a different clown right. again, right? As opposed to yeah. the Rangers, which are a bunch of clowns in the States who all do up their face paint the same way. No, I'm kidding. I love the U.S. Army Rangers. I'm just fucking with them. They're you know, they're good guys. No, seriously, the Rangers are good guys. They're almost as good as the Canadians. They're pretty. Yeah, but there's a lot more of them than there are Canadians. So I'll be
here.
Really
come
nice.
The letters.
Yeah, here come the letters. You fuck. No, they're just. I'm gonna get a bunch of scathing like whatever you fucking blah. They'll spread their filth all over me, and it'll all be good. They know I love them.
Yeah.
But back to the other clowns. So that's the deal. Yeah, it's a big deal, and when you think about it, it's very kind of Brazil. You know, that you've got these official people who, like, travel around in, like, you know, white lab coats with sunglasses on, and then they create this clown that goes into the fast food, you know, human resources establishment and,
that,
you know, farms
that is
the
bizarre.
Children. You know, it's kind of... It's a little bit sort of, you know, Scanner
farms
Darkly.
The children.
Yeah, well, that's what he does, right? I mean, he's all in there. He's making sure that he keeps morale up. And, you know, there you go.
Right.
Breed, motherfucker. You know, bring your... You know,
be happy.
Are you
eat
happy?
The
eat that. Put that filth in your mouth. Yeah, it's pretty good. So, you know, bring the kids.
Have a cheap toy.
Yeah, you know, whatever, made by another child. I think that's sort of ironic. You know, yeah.
Children sharing with children.
Children sharing.
Nothing's
children.
More happier than that.
It's a small world, Sam. It's a small, small
that's
world.
That's right. The happiest place on earth.
It is. It is. You know, and November makes for some awesome shows. On Newsreel, because that's when we're really feeling cheerful. You know, that's
the
when I'm...
cynicism just bleeds
yeah.
from the show.
Oh, it's good. You know, you don't think that I've got the Red Hawk and the shot glass with the wild turkey sitting on the dash next to the microphone.
Taking a shot.
Yeah, you know, I'm like looking at it, making the call whether or not I'm going to finish the sentence, you know, but wait, I have a gun. In cyber war news, this, by the way, is what censorship will look like. Okay, we're going to get into the news here because this is kind of a little bit scary. Cyber war has moved from fiction to fact, says a report. What? A report?
A report
said that?
What? Go on.
Fuck, what are these reports you speak of? It says a report compiled by the security firm McAfee, which everybody knows McAfee. They're on my computer, right? So obviously they've got to have some kind of government oversight or something, right? They're not like just a corporation, are they? Yes, they are.
We are McAfee.
But they're not a company. They're a security firm. So you trust McAfee, right? They're your friends.
That's right.
Right? That's the mind
that's right.
share.
They keep you safe and warm.
Well, that's what McAfee is. What's McAfee? It's a virus scanner, right? Viruses are bad, right?
Yep.
So we trust...
They
see,
protect
that's,
you. Personal protection.
Good. I like McAfee. It bases its conclusion on analysis of recent net-based attacks. Analysis of the motives of the actors behind many attacks carried out via the internet showed that many were mounted with an explicitly political aim. It said that many nations were now arming to defend themselves in a cyber war and readying forces to conduct their own attacks. You know, all this from the private security firm McAfee, who of course makes money by, you know, so there's no conflict of interest here at all. Like, not even a little bit.
No.
While
a
definitions,
company that makes money on fear.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely not. While definitions of what constitutes a cyber war are not shared. What? While definitions of what constitutes cyber war are not shared, it was clear that many nations were preparing for a future in which conflict was partly conducted via the net. That's such an unstatement. That is the biggest unstatement ever. There are, you know, I wish these guys would just reach out. It'll be crushing destruction everywhere. There's going to be bitches with body armor on. It's going to be fucking awesome.
I mean, if you're going to go over the top.
Yeah,
just
cyber
go over the top.
War, you know. Cyber war. You know, they're preparing. You know, what a downer. You know, I'm reading about the cyber war. And these guys, you know, they're just, you know, they're fucking it up.
I want hackers in dark rooms and basements with glowing green things on their faces and
that's what you want.
Music playing in the background.
Well, you betcha.
You want that.
And
if you
a
hear
skate
cyber
ramp,
war, that's
and
what's
people
happening.
Can only
that's
get into
happening.
Your secret
oh,
hideout
yeah.
by the skate ramp. You got to be like,
oh, yeah.
Because that's what it was in 1985. Like, it was 1980. Anyway, no, seriously, it was that's what we were all. Me and Sim, yeah, we grew up like in the half pipe. If you watch Hackers, that's me and Sim. There's like this scene where these two guys skate through. That's Sim. He goes first. And I'm like that's behind right. him a little
we
bit.
We were there.
Yeah, we were there, man.
We didn't get credit. I'll have to add that to Internet Movie Database. Uncredited.
Oh, Sean dude, Kennedy, that'd be James awesome. O'Brien. We should totally like just start putting ourselves in uncredited in all these movies. And then it's up to somebody else to prove it wasn't us. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, I know. I put us in on the Broken Saints DVD. And really, was there any like review of that? We're like, we're in a super hidden Easter egg bonus part on that you can only access if you put it in your computer. It's
wow.
impossible through a normal DVD. So, I don't know if anybody checked, but we're actually on it. So let's put ourselves in Hackers.
Nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares. Nobody cares, you know, that's the problem. I mean, we could turn ourselves into like the B-movie kings. You can put yourself in a movie with Jackie Chan. You know, I know you'd like
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, I'd be like, and I'm the guy got smacked in the face.
7 degrees of
like,
Jackie Chan.
Some white dude in some badly focused film.
I was
film,
the extra.
There's
yeah.
like, yeah, who's like the white guy with blonde hair who looks kind of like you, and you get smacked in the face, and you'd be like, yeah, I'm listed there, man. You know, and see, and after yeah. it's been there for like
prove
5 years.
Prove it wasn't me. Prove yeah, it. Prove it. It wasn't me.
I was there. Shut
well,
up.
Well, you were 6 at the time.
You know what? There's, I'm trying to get back to my place in the story. I think I found
sorry.
It. There are at least five countries known to be arming themselves for this kind of conflict. At least five countries. This reads like a fucking Onion article. It reads like an Onion article. The UK, the UK.
Don't forget Poland.
Germany, France, China, and North Korea are known to be developing their own capabilities. Nobody else is working on this. Just those five. The French? Oh, no, they're doing it.
They're all playing Modern Warfare.
But Japan apparently isn't doing shit with the internet at all.
No.
No, Japan's not on there. Russia? Nope. No, they're not. Romania? No. Even though they're like the hotbed of internet crime. Budapest, the porn capital of the planet. They're not doing anything. They're not developing that. Nobody gives a shit about your national secrets, man. If you want to know who's doing all the developments, look into, you know, botnets and spam. Because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, some media distribution, but largely it's botnet spam and farming credit cards and hacking. Because those guys get paid, all right? And, I mean, they're getting turned
they
off and killed
of
by the
thousands
Mossad,
of computers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, and anyway, that's what he says here. If someone is stealing information or planting logic bombs. Logic bombs. It's far more
logic
difficult
bombs.
To find them. The U.S. is known to have an operating manual governing the rules and procedures of how it can use cyber warfare tactics. There are no rules. You can't handle the truth. I used to eat my sandwich next to a core router sitting on the backbone. It is known to have used hack attacks alongside ground operations during the Iraq War. And it's continued. Give me a fucking break. Like, what are you, the Iraq War? What?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
they hacked the computers inside the households before they broke down the door.
Fuck, they're
hack
using
his computer.
Dude, they're using Predator drones on Somali pirates, and it's like Habib over there is just sitting down. Maybe he's got an iPod. That's the level of technology that he's got on the go. What are you going to hack? It's like he's listening to Malak. I mean, let him have the music, for Christ's sake. You know, he's going to have like a Predator launching a Hellfire up his ass. Let the guy listen to whatever he wants. You know, he's dying anyway. But,
all right, we've disrupted his iPod. Let's go in.
Let's go in. Get him, man. Like, come on. I don't think... Have we even taken on a technologically advanced adversary? Like, come on. Really? Have we? Who? Saddam Hussein? Are you fucking kidding? Are you kidding? Have you seen the guy's mustache? Okay, those people don't even have good
hygiene. Like, a lot of these countries don't even allow the internet in there.
Yeah, no. Man, I just... I don't think that... Like, they're like... Anyway. Let me go... is known to have used hacks in the Iraq War. So in the Iraq War, when they were, you know, all the Iraqis were, you know, using their giant power armor to ward off the United States war machine. Anyway, Mr. Day said there was evidence of a growing number of attacks that could be classified as reconnaissance in advance of future conflict. What? Okay, anything could be that. The ease of which the tools such attacks could be gathered and used was worth the ease with which the tools of such attacks can be gathered and used was worrying. Now this is where, oh, I see where we're going with this. The easiest, we want to restrict the free and open access to information. There it is. To go to physical war, okay, requires billions of dollars, he said. To go to cyber war, most people can easily find the resources that could be used in these kind of attacks. The targets of such future conflicts were likely to be of nations' infrastructure, said Mr. Day, because networks of all kinds were so embedded in people's lives. Much like the air traffic thing. I don't know, did you hear about the plane thing today? A bunch of planes kind of got fucked up and flights were all screwed up this morning. Did you hear about that?
Oh, vaguely, I didn't look into it.
Yeah, so, you know, that's probably going to, you know, hey, turn off the database for half an hour. Okay, good deal. Turn it back on. Awesome. So we were under cyber attack in that half hour. That's why we have to take away all your DVDs. Okay. In response, you know, in response, he said many nations now have an agency overseeing critical national infrastructure and ensuring it's adequately hardened against netborne attacks. He's really bringing out logic bombs, netborne. You know, and that's netborne like airborne. I really like that. That's good. Chris Weissel, a chief technology officer at Veracode, which advises many governments on security. So I advise many governments on security, too. As a matter of fact, you know, if you want to get right down to it, you know, I probably advise more people than Chris Weissel does. But anyway, he said the cyber war presented its own problems when it came to deciding motive and finding the perpetrators. In physical warfare, that's pretty clear which has the weapon and how they're using them. In a networked world, that arbitration is incredibly difficult. The same is true for cybercrime, he said, when following a trail of money can lead investigators back to the band of thieves. If someone's stealing information or planting logic bombs, it's far more difficult to find them. Mr. Sopel said many governments have woken up to the threat and were starting to put in place systems and agencies that could help protect them. However, they said they still have a lot of weaknesses. The thing about governments doing this is that they have a long time, they have a time horizon of many years, but the criminals are doing it in a matter of months.
What is he proposing here?
He's
lockdown on the internet? He's not saying anything. He's just spreading fear.
That's right.
Buy our product or something. I have no idea
he's laying groundwork here. What he's doing is that this is the restriction. No, you see, look at these problems. You know, I mean, the war and these guys, you know, they're upset because we're dropping bombs on their houses. We didn't think they'd be upset for us dropping bombs on their houses, and nobody had the foresight to see this coming at all. None of the special operations community were screaming about shit like this forever. So if you don't listen to your military, don't blame them when your shit is broken, okay? I promise you, don't get me started. Anyhow, back to the thought crimes thing. This is what they're going to do. They're going to use this as like, we're afraid of the... So, you know, this is going to become... This software is going to get listed as, whitelisting and trying to regulate the... where you go
online.
Any kind
of security access tools. And, yeah, everything's going to be regulated and locked down. And you can't analyze anything unless you're going to get in trouble. It's all these people
that are
exposing flaws in networks.
Luckily for you, I have had this prophecy. Like, this server has granted me this flash from the future.
Ooh,
where McAfee and a bunch of other security firms are going to start coming out with whitelist applications that are automatically installed in your virus scanner. You automatically institute this whitelist, and if you're on this whitelist and you go to a website that's not on the whitelist, your computer will give you a warning, and that's how they'll start doing it.
Now, how do you get on this whitelist, I say, Sean?
Well, of course, you have to be approved with McAfee.
Jump through some hoops and,
it's probably a simple sign-up. Yeah. As a matter of fact, they will probably be going based upon complaints. Anyone who complains will then, you know, automatically be whitelisted, right? And they'll have some sort of, like, algorithm set up with people who are far, you know, smarter than I am, who will figure out how to do that. But that's pretty much how they'll start to censor that shit. They'll start to bring this into Web 2.0, so suddenly you're only going places that are approved. And then, of course, when you're a parent, you're too strung out anyway. You can't possibly keep track of everything that's going on. So what do? You're like, well, I guess whatever. I'd rather surf the net with my child. But think of the children, okay? You know, if my child types in headless corpse in a search browser, look at what they could find. You know, they'll find
awful
pictures of headless
it's
corpses.
Crazy.
And that's not good. You know, I want them to find pictures of butterflies because, you know, teaching children about violence and death can't possibly be good. But anyway, you know, I don't have kids. I can't really, you know, comment on
raising. You don't know what it's like.
You don't know what it's like, man. But, you know, after a downer story like that where you're seeing the groundwork, luckily, this is probably the greatest goddamn story, I think, that I have ever had on the show. I'm pretty happy about this particular
really?
Story. Yeah, I think I'm going to dedicate, just because I'm loving Sight Unheard, just because he's being emo, I think that this story might be where he'll discover his art, you know? Maybe it'll be something related to this, Sight Unheard. You know, hold on, man. Be there, okay? The Large Hadron Collider versus H.P. Lovecraft remix, double remix. Rocket balls! Okay, here we go. Atop Boffin at the Large Hadron Collider, LHC, says the Titanic machine may possibly create or discover previously unimagined scientific phenomena or unknown unknowns, for instance, in an extra dimension. Quote, out of this door might come something, or we might send something through it, said Sergio Bertolucci, who's the director for research and scientific computing at CERN, briefing reporters, including the Reg, at the CERN HQ earlier this week. The LHC, built inside its 27-kilometer circumference subterranean tunnel beneath the Franco-Swiss border outside of Geneva, functions as sort of an orbital motorway for extremely high-speed hadrons, blah, 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 blah. So what they do is these blah, blah, blah. I'll explain how it works. They got it kind of broken down here. So just in case you are wondering how the LHC works. The difference is, the LHC, built inside a 27-kilometer subterranean deep tunnel beneath the Franco-Swiss border outside Geneva, functions as sort of an orbital motorway for extremely high-speed hadrons. Typically, they're protons or lead ions. So we take a bunch of atoms, spin them up. The differences are, firstly, the streams of particles are moving at velocities within a whisker of light speed. So, okay, what could possibly go wrong? We're going to take a bunch of atoms, whip them up to light speed in a circle. such is that each stream has as much energy in it as a normal car going at 1,000 miles per hour. Holy crap. That's not scary. Secondly, the beams are arranged in such a fashion that two streams swerve through one another occasionally, which naturally results in huge numbers of incredibly violent head-on collisions. crossing the streams. These collisions are sufficiently violent that they are expected to briefly create conditions similar to those obtaining countless eons ago, not long after the Big Bang. when the entire universe was still inconceivably small, like smaller than the Hadron Collider, you know, that you're fucking with. It was smaller than a proton for quite some time, seemingly still with all the stuff that nowadays makes up the super enormity of space and galaxies and so forth packed in there somehow. Naturally, some extremely strange phenomena is to be expected when one manages the very fabric of space-time in this fashion. Various eccentric nutballs have claimed that this would doom humanity in one fashion or another, perhaps converting the entire Earth, everything on it, and possibly the rest of the universe too, into a strangelet soup, a monopole multi-gate tunny, or some sort of frightful subparticulate blanchmange or custard. It has also been suggested that the cack-handed boffins at the LHC might inadvertently call into being miniature black hole, carelessly drop us Earth, rather irrationally creating the planet, or irrationally causing the planet to implode. It's certainly to be hoped that the button marked call black hole into being on the control board has some kind of flip-down cover on it. Ha 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 ha! Obviously, that's all utter rubbish, but some boffins speculate that black holes might ultimately act as a space warp wormhole portholes into alternate universes or something. This would seem chime with Bertolucci's remarks on these hyperdimensional doors that come unspecified something. So what have we got? Dinosaurs? Demonic soul reapers? Parable global Nazis? Hyperspherical juggernaut beings? Come on! Anyone who's watched TV or seen any science fiction movies will be well aware of hyperdimensional swap wormhole portals don't usually lead anything boring like empty space, parallel civilizations, where humanity lives in peace and harmony or anything like that. Rather, it seems a racing cert that we're looking here at an imminent visit from a race of carnivorous dinosaur men. and the Superman clone hive legions of some evil gigantic queen empress, infinite polypantheons of dark mega-deities, imprisoned for aeons and hungering for feasting upon human souls in a paralleled history Nazi global Reich or something like that. Now, the great thing is here is that he's not wrong. There's a chance. You know, there's a chance there. I want you to think for a moment. Just, you know, lean back with me now. And tomorrow morning, you know, because it's tonight, they turn on the LHC. They're not. But, like, you know, no one knows when they're turning that thing back on again, you know? But you wake up one morning, and there it is. You know, doom, 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 there's a man going around taking names. And you've got, you know, giant insects attacking things on CNN. And everybody is in, you know, just in total shock. And suddenly...
chaos.
Yeah, and you realize that the time has come for you to go to the closet and to open up the closet which you've been amassing all the gear in all this time, you know, and light will stream through the window, you know, because you know that pretty soon they're going to be in your neighborhood too, and pretty soon your art, you will discover it. Yes, the truth will be told. That is where you will find your strength, sight unheard. You are an artist who will defend humanity and the coming global apocalypse brought on by the Large Hadron Collider. Now, ironically speaking, like, just as a side note, if they open a gateway and plexites start showing up, I'm shooting myself. Like, that's what I'm doing, okay? Like, just...
Well, this
if stuff I imagine starts coming through gateways, I'm checking out. What's that?
This is reminiscent of the movie and of course, the book, The Mist.
And Stargate.
By Stephen King.
Oh, which they did.
A lot of other things.
Yeah, I mean, like, global, you know, but, of course, nothing's going to happen. It's probably not even going to work.
Of course.
You know, but, wouldn't it be great for just a little while just to think, you know,
it wouldn't.
You know, we got, like, dragons start coming through. What if there's, like, a 27-kilometer circle that's a porthole to, like, I don't know, the Forgotten Realms, to the Star Trek world, like, just anywhere, man, get me out of here. Me and the Wogs, we're all getting picked up, we're making a pilgrimage to the Hodge. You want me to check it out? No problem. Are the droids coming back? Awesome, let's go. Airborne.
As long as unspeakable beasts don't come through it to our dimension.
Oh, you know, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if we had some unspeakable beasts. I mean, we haven't had unspeakable beasts in a really long time.
That's
true. And one of the great things about fighting unspeakable beasts is you get some heroes out of that shit. You know, you get a couple of heroes, guys who, you know, really stand up and take a licking, and you get behind your military again. That's why it's always good to fight unspeakable beasts, you know? Because dehumanizing things is fun. So if they're not even human to start with, that's why I'm always down on aliens. Because you gotta have somebody to hate, right? You need a bad guy. Yeah. Otherwise, you got no story, right? So, you know, we've been picking on bad guys and stuff, but why not extra-dimensional entities? Maybe that's why the UFOs are here. They're going to spark it up. We're going to open this wormhole, and the aliens will land and be like, oh, God damn it! You know, we helped corn out your cow's asses on the planet here, would, you know, help us out, but totally didn't. We're weak, defenseless alien little people, and we need a war race to help us. Here's the deal. We'll kit you out. Humans, you fight for us against the Lovecraftian monsters. What do you say? Are you down? I'm like, hell yeah, I'm down. How many do you need? I can have a legion here shortly. Only thing is, everybody on my team, yeah, we don't have any kind of conventions. Our army's based off of Warhammer 40K. Those are our rules of engagement, yeah. Welcome to the future. All is war. This is kind of a little bit great, though, don't you think? I mean, really, Sim... What's your take on the LHC? Like, if that happened, I'd be okay. I'd be dancing in the streets, right? But you're like Mr. Skeptical. I don't even believe it's raining unless I look out the window, kind of guy. So, it's
no. It's quite possible that there's infinite dimensions, and in every one of these dimensions, any possibility is you know possible. Things could crazy creatures could exist in another dimension.
What if one of those dimensions is heaven?
Well, if there are infinite universes, then it's quite possible.
So there could be a heaven, is what you're saying here. I'm just saying, scientifically speaking, you know, I'll let it go.
It's not very accessible to us at the moment.
No, it's not, but it's possible.
anything is possible.
Anything is possible. I won't get it. Okay, I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone. I'm sorry. Right. kind of jumped on you with that one. In body bag news. Now, this is a good one. We can talk about this one because I'm not too sure how to feel about this. I mean, I kind of know how I should feel, but it's kind of a dark story. So as opposed to Cthulhu coming forth and destroying our planet.
I know,
I feel better. Hey, I'm dying with my M14 on my feet like a man. Okay, for sale. Well, fighting, you know, you could rescue people and stuff. I mean, WoGs like that kind of shit, you know?
Be the hero.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, why not? It's better than planning on being nothing, you know? May as well try for something. And that's what WoGs know, man, is that, you know, somewhere in some other dimension, there is a creature training for the day when you will both meet. And will you be ready? You know, really.
Well, that guy with $5,000 worth of ammunition can get his day, then.
Yeah. It's, well, yeah, won't we all have egg on our face? You know, he'll be sitting there in the last holdout, Firebase my house, and it's like there's nothing but, you know, dead space insects for miles and miles, and they're like now they're
just piling up and you can climbing over the dead bodies of their brethren.
Right, and you cut scene up to the insect motherships where they're like pointing at the map of the Earth in the big red sector and they're shaking their appendages angrily and smashing it against the display and they send more, you know, and there's more and more waves, you know. The music kicks in, everything cuts down, super slow motion. Yeah, totally. You know, he's all like hunkered down. Awesome. See, we need a budget, you know? Somebody give us a budget.
I know.
We need the guys from Lord of the Rings. Get me those guys.
Yes.
We'll
send them a script.
Yeah, you know. I had an idea for another cheap short film, though. Well, it's a short,
excellent,
longer film, but it's a little bit more difficult. A little bit more difficult. But anyway.
Good. Yeah. Well, we did the easy one. Now we'll do the difficult one.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it. Anyway. Sorry. Back to the story. Body bank news. Okay, got some body bank. Paying a woman for her eggs to be used in stem cell research has been a bioethical no-no for years. But this past June, New York State decided to allow just that, becoming the first state to permit public money to be used in this way. The decision, which allows payment of up to $10,000... will likely jumpstart donations and thereby research. Many bioethicists, however, worry that financial incentive could exploit women and compromise their health. Gee, you think? Ethical issues surround egg donation because the process is not without risk. It requires a series of hormonal stimulation injections as well as an invasive procedure to retrieve the eggs. Ah. The long-term effects and risks of complication are not well known. A woman who provides eggs for research is assuming unknown risk for unknown benefits, says Deborah Matthews, a pediatrician at Johns Hopkins University. The lingering unknowns prompted the National Council of Sciences to issue a 2005 non-binding guidelines to prohibit payment but allow direct reimbursement for expenses as a means to protect underprivileged women in particular. Various research teams have observed those guidelines and have tried to recruit women to donate their eggs for free. But these altruism-dependent attempts failed to find any takers. Instead, scientists have primarily relied on eggs left over from in vitro fertilization procedures. The second-hand supply, however, is small, and some question the quality of these eggs. Get cracking. Many have been rejected for implementation because they were subpar to begin with. Oh, man. You know,
your eggs suck.
Bad eggs. Storage and transport.
These ones are
rotten. You got rotten eggs. Storage and transport can also be problematic, as Matthew explained. We're not good at freezing and thawing eggs yet. Well, you don't freeze and thaw eggs. Everybody knows that. The lack of quality eggs, along with an 11-year, $600 million directive from the New York State legislature to further stem cell research, persuaded New York's Empire Stem Cell Board to allow payment to women for egg donations. The board governs publicly funded stem cell work and is in charge of overseeing grants for related research. So,
wow,
what do you think about this, Simi?
I could see where the abuse would come in. Really poor people selling their bodies or parts of their bodies for money, or other people exploiting women, you know, rounding up a bunch of women, taking half the money or whatever. It's pimping people for their money. But I could see the other side of it's where they're just not getting any eggs to do experiments with to get the science done.
Well, the thing that gets me here is just like, you're exploiting people right?
Yeah.
There's nobody more exploited on this planet than poor people. Okay, like, yeah. who are you trying to shit here? You know, really. Everybody who's poor is pretty savagely exploited. And you just said that you were trying to get them for free from people on goodwill. And suddenly now you're worried if you pay them, it's exploiting them. But getting them on goodwill isn't exploiting them. I mean, shit, that's probably more exploitations than anything else. So,
I know. Well, it's the same thing with prostitution, right? It's all of a sudden bad when you pay them, but it's free. When it's free, it's okay.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I think making prostitution is illegal is retarded. It's never going to go away. I mean, you know, you may as well. Amsterdam has got a few things figured out. That's as far as I'll go with that. But anyway, I mean, Jesus, could you imagine if Vegas set up like Amsterdam? Could you fucking imagine? Oh, my
God.
That'd
be the place to do it.
What,
It'd
Vegas?
Be very popular.
Yeah, you know, hopefully there's a couple of, you know, because I know the Mafia listens to the show. So, hey, guys, if you guys are listening right now, I'm sure the Don guy's looking at the other guy, and he's like, this look on his face, and he's like, So suddenly that's going to be in motion right now. Probably we'll see that next couple. Of course, they got that town. Going off on a side note here, did you hear about that town in Colorado where they're like, it's legal to have pot now? It's the first pot legal.
I did hear about that.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, that's good.
Well, it's
step in the right direction. It was the, no, we did it on the show, I think. It was
no,
the
we didn't.
Mountain
we didn't do,
town.
We,
it was a ski town.
Yeah, we talked about it originally, but it's actually been made like legal now. Like apparently in this town. Yeah. It's not in the show. This
good.
Is just a sideline. Well, the thing that's weird though is they got that Mark Emery guy, right? The guy with the seeds,
yep.
The seeds guy, who they're
going
to like
jail
throw in jail
US,
for like
where,
you know
where
50,
it's now legal.
Yeah. We're in a town for something that, you know, like, why don't we just, like, not do that? Because you're looking like a major, what are you doing? You know, really.
Great.
Well, not only, oh,
why you,
what?
Why don't you, you know, why don't you just send him, instead of sending him to jail, send him to that town and get them all set up. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I'm hiding out in the Oregon Mountain. That guy is so crazy. I've met him a couple of times. I think he is, I don't think he's coming back. You know, I think that
we're going to make
stone,
an example of him.
No. He's so stoned, like, he's never coming back. You know, like, that guy.
Oh, I see.
That guy couldn't be a threat to society if his life. It's amazing to me he stayed as fit as he has. You know, you should just put him in a corner somewhere with a sitar and let him go. You know, he's totally harmless. There's a lot.
Yeah, not exactly the most violent person. Not really a threat to anyone.
I don't really think he is. So I kind of, I mean, he ran off at the mouth a bit. And he's talking about overgrowing the government and stuff like that. So what? But come on, man. You've got like way bigger fish to fry than this cat. And now you got towns making legal. I'm like, whatever. You know, I actually don't really talk about that issue a lot because I don't think that people should do a lot of drugs, but. It's like, dude, that's ridiculous, you know? Anyway, in robot takeover news. Now, as we know, I, for one, welcome my metal masters. the robots are taking over, right? That's who the Illuminati are working for. That's who Server is. I think that Server is actually the freedom of, you know, and the robots will be against Server in the Great Uprising. But anyway, scientists at IBM's Aldebaran. Here on Alderaan, scientists at IBM's Alderaan Research Center have built the biggest artificial brain ever, a cell-by-cell simulation of the human visual cortex, 1.6 billion virtual neurons connecting 9 trillion synapses. This computer simulation, as large as a cat's brain, blows away the previous record or simulated rat's brain with 55 million neurons built by the same team 2 years ago. So we've dropped a bunch of letters from rat to cat. This is a Hubble telescope of the mind, a linear acceleration of the brain, says Dharmendra Moda, the Aldebaran computer scientist who will announce the feat at the Supercomputing 2009 conference in Portland, Oregon. In other words, the realm of computing science, the team's undertaking is grand. Now, you'll notice that's in Portland, Oregon, right? That's where this is happening. And they just made weed legal in that other town in Oregon, right? right? Ooh. Yeah, and you got this cat in a box, right? Because you got this cat's brain. It's Schrodinger, right? So you steal the AI, right? And you call it Schrodinger, and you run to the town, right? It's you and Mark Allen. So here's the road trip, okay? Break out Google Maps. After the show, I'm gonna go down, jump inside the convertible, and we'll go bust out Mark Allen, go pick up this this cat, and we're gonna start heading towards that town. That's the plan, right? Bring the camera. The cortex, the wrinkly outer layer of the brain, performs most of the high functions that make the human brains, from recognizing faces and speech and choreographing dozens of muscle contractions involved in a perfect tennis serve. It does this using a universal neural circuit called a microcolumn, repeated over and over again. Moda hopes the simulation assembling used neuroscience data from rats, cats, monkeys, and humans, will help scientists better understand how the brain works, and in particular, how the core microcolumn manages to perform such a wide range of tasks. So, okay, Dr. Sean, what's the translation here? So what they got here is they packed themselves a bunch of neurons together that sort of work.
Yep.
That's the size of a cat brain.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I want you to stop.
It's as big as a cat brain. It doesn't do things like a cat or even think like a cat. It's just as big as a cat's brain.
Right. So what we got here is we've got a bunch of neurons, right? That's the size of a cat's brain, right?
Ready to fire up. Yep.
Ready to fire up. So with these billions of neurons, trillions of connections and stuff like that, it's kind of like mapping a hard drive, right? Like you're going to part this thing up, right? And it's going to start, you know, changing bits and bytes and making its little patterns.
That's
and
true.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's going to run and do-do-do-do-do-do. And
did
you wipe it between the programs you use it? No, well, we think so. It's kind of new. We're not really just do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do. And, you know, it learns, right?
Yeah, wait to the first buffer overflow and it gets into some access of its memory that it had resident there before. And it comes alive.
Meow.
It starts taking off.
It's like
gets to the highest place in the room. It starts swiping its paw at you.
That's right. Suddenly my blender rent for the grass. And I didn't know what was happening. I think that, well, when you think about it, like, there's a lot of really clever cats out there. Okay, there are people out there who will swear up and down that cats are... well, this is also in the new Afternoon book, but at some point you're going to have to look at this and go, okay, well, at what point do we give these things rights? Because if you had a cat...
Really, what are they seeing when they're looking at a blank wall, staring at it for an hour? What are they doing? Really?
Well, they're gating into the world of Abaddon to feed on parasites, which are here to kill you. I talk about that in my book. Stab Wings of Abaddon, you can pick it up now. No, seriously, if you got a computer, right, that is as smart as a cat... Okay, and there's no soul, then technically you've got a cat, right? You've made a cat. So maybe they should be subject to the SPCA laws, you know, maybe they should have some animal rights, you know, because it's
That's
a sentient.
Right.
So if we, let's, you know, the 2 years, we got bigger than a cat, then suddenly they've got a, I don't know, a moose, and then they got a rhino or something, I don't know. But they'll scale it up so they get bigger and bigger brains until they're like a spider monkey. And then it'll be as smart as a person. And will they have rights then? Or can I just buy my real doll, get her back to the house, and then, you know, run her down with a chainsaw and chop her up into little pieces? Because, you know, I'm a rich psychopath and I get off on hurting things. And is that legal?
Yeah,
can we film that?
Charged with robot side.
Could we film that? Could we make a TV show where in the future, right, we'll buy replicants, we'll fire them up, we'll put them into a nice job, and everyone is in on it, right? They'll work in society, and then I'll just grab them out of society, and, you know, it'll be like the Saw with robots. You know, it'll be Flesh Fair, Rant Media. Oh. Yeah, put it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
It'll
be a bestseller.
Oh, yeah. You know, well, we gotta adapt.
Load it up with blood packs and yeah.
Well, it'll be screaming and stuff, right? Because, you know, the really good ones, you know. I like some of the Japanese ideas, you know, where you got the old guys being catered to by a bunch of super sexy robots. That's all right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If I'm going to, you know, if you can't offer me that, well, I'm going to go up to the dimensional vortex that with the Lovecraftian monsters crawling out of it, and me and my wogs are jumping through. If you can't give me the robot chicks and flying cars, we're going to another dimension, all right? Fuck all y'all. That's how we're playing this.
That's
shit.
Right. Forget this dimension. That one's way more interesting.
Well, you know, I'm not going to keep being a clerk. I'm sorry. We're done. Cyberpunk Kit useful to have in the coming apocalypse. I might lose power on the show, by the way. There's a storm going on around me, so if I cut out,
The
show's over. Cyberpunk kit, fear sensor! Very cool. An 18-month project to develop two sensor systems being carried out by the City of University of London is being led by Professor Tong Sun. The project has funding from the Home Office Scientific Development Branch. After a feasibility study is complete, two devices are expected to be designed to identify fear, the fear pheromone in human sweat, one by labor absorption, the other by a portable optic fiber instrument. The devices could be used to help police identify abnormal behavior or at big events such as the 2012 Olympics. The research project follows on the evidence gained from last year in the U.S. by scientists who collected the underarm sweat of 20 novice skydivers about to make their first jump, and then asked volunteers ignorant of the experiment's nature to smell the samples via a nebulizer where their brains were scanned. The study found that the smell of fear is real, and the part of the brain associated with the fear is responding to the smell of fear. The British scientists hope to use the chemical to develop a security system that can detect fear hormone, and the challenge is identifying and characterizing the specific chemical signature for human fear, especially when related to criminal acts. Well,
you can have a bottle of fear.
No. What you're going to have, though, is you're going to have people who do the exact same thing with the sex pheromone. Because it would seem to me that you feed somebody a bunch of ecstasy or whatever, horn them right out, you get a bunch of their underarm sweat, you know, give it to somebody else to smell, and they're like, well, I don't know, it kind of makes me feel funny, whatever. And you get that, ding, you know, it seems to me that, like, fear...
That's the big seller.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, like, the carnal stuff, right? Fear, primal stuff, fear, anger, lust, you know, all the good sins. Gluttony. Yep, maybe if you took my underarm sweat when I was eating a lot of hot dogs. You know.
I feel hungry.
Maybe that's what it is. Hey, yeah. Let's take a bunch of starving people's sweat and see if there's a pheromone for hungry or whatever. And we'll just spray that on all our food.
Spray it in the malls. Spray it in the malls.
In
and everybody
the food,
heads for the food court.
You betcha. Get your fat ass down to the food court, you. Come on, move your ass, fatty. Get down there. Get it into you. Have a face full of that. Ah, you hungry? You're hungry? Here comes a fucking clown. Eat my filth. I'm a clown. Good time.
They could give it to those perfume sprayers when you walk through the doors that assault you with perfume. And instead of perfume, it could be the hunger pheromone.
Oh, yeah. The replicant chicks. I love those chicks.
Yeah.
Especially downtown Vancouver.
Would you like some?
My
eyes.
I like the really downtown crowd ones because the downtown crowd ones are really into the makeup, right? We're talking like 3-hour suit up. It's like, you know, they could come to work like the Predator from Industrial Light Magic and it'd be less makeup time than what they spend on themselves to work at, you know, the the Jean-Paul Gaultier counter or whatever the hell it is, right? Seriously, and these chicks, they put it on like, you know, a la Blade Runner, man. Right across the eyes.
Oh, yeah.
It's hot. Yeah, I really like the makeup counter chicks. I especially like the ones who are like, you know, just a little bit older than they should be, but they've really pasted it on, so they look kind of like weird, you know, transsexual senior citizens, and they're like, I smell sexy! Yeah, I love those ones. Those are my favorite. It's like a Marilyn Manson video every time I go to the mall.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Awesome. Anyway, now, this is single-handedly probably the dumbest thing I think I've ever seen. Okay. Everybody has sent me this story, and I've titled the story, It's Time to Move. Okay. X-Flex wallpaper is bomb-proof wallpaper, they say. Now, this is one of the most classical cases of bullshit I've ever seen. The X-Flex wallpaper is an adhesive with a sticky backing that attaches to the inside of brick and cylindrical walls, according to its designers. Covering an entire room takes less than an hour. The wallpaper is so effective that a single layer can keep a wrecking ball from splashing through a brick wall. A double layer can stop blunt objects, i.e., a wrecking ball from knocking down drywall. How does it work? The X-Flex systems features a Kevlar-like material in between two sheets of elastic polymer. Apparently, that's all it takes to keep a wrecking ball from taking down your house. And they have a YouTube video about it. The Army is already thinking about using the wallpaper at bases in Iraq and Afghanistan, and at Barry Plastics plans to sell the commercial version X-Flex next year. So it's the thing is, though, if you look at it, what it is it's a mesh, like a net, okay, like a weave.
Yeah.
And it,
it's
they
Kevlar
got,
for your wall.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you look at the video, check out how it's secured, okay? What they've got is they got a metal frame,
right,
and they've bolted it on the roof, and they've bolted it with, like, metal clamps at the bottom, so all that extra force is being absorbed by the top and the bottom. It's not like you spray this shit on your wall, and suddenly your house is bulletproof. Physics doesn't work like that. It's transfer, so you'll put this shit on your wall, think you're bomb-proof, and you just... You know, it's got the physics has got to be able to. Unless
and
you were
the
to,
wallpaper comes down with the whole wall.
Yeah, exactly, and it won't hold it up. Now, if you were to go in there with some steel, and make a steel box that runs along the corners of your room, so it's basically like a roll bar frame, and then attach this stuff to the roll bar frame, yeah, that would work. Good luck clearing that with the wife, or if you're not married, good luck finding a wife, unless she's a pretty freaky chick. But, you know, hey, it's a cyberpunk future, and realistically, this stuff on the walls, you know, that's pretty cyberpunk.
You could put it on your wall and then wallpaper over top of that, right? You can hide it.
I wouldn't, actually. I think what I'd do is I'd probably paint my wall in UV paint, and then I would paint this stuff, I'd put this stuff over top, and then light everything with black light. So it's kind of got that, like, fishnet stockings look on my wall. And then, you know, because everything's going to be lit with black light anyway, right? So, and that's, and all my robotic assistants all have, like, the black light glowing eye contacts. Those are awesome. And that's just for starters.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When we take over, that's what's happening. Now, your Recomedia this week is pdftextfiles.com. That was sent in by Caps Locker. Thank you very much. Haven't talked to him in a while. Pdftextfiles.com. Yeah. Your always available manual for the finest selection of portable document format files. Culled from the killing fields of the internet, your tech steward, Jason Scott, has done his best to provide you with the most intriguing selection of these. So check that out. That's your Recomedia. Lots of good extra books. And your daily hack is something that I haven't actually talked about being exposed. I talked about it when it came out, but now it's in the wild and we can get it. So in case you're not aware of this, Microsoft has confirmed that its digital forensic software called Coffee had been leaked onto the web, but said it's not concerned that cyber criminals can build around the program. Now, this is the program that you plug it into a Microsoft system, and basically it was designed by Microsoft for law enforcement to be like turn them into script kiddies. So all you do is you plug this thing, which is on a USB key, into the computer. It rapes all the relevant data, logs off instantly, and it's just good to go.
Ah, right. Yes.
Yeah. So this is in the wild now. And if all you do, I haven't linked to it because I'll get, you know, hit with a notice, but you can go and just type in Coffee Download Microsoft in any sort of torrent search and you'll find it. It's pretty easy to get. I think it's like 700 megs.
Check how secure your computer is.
Well, and, you know, keep some with you in case the aliens attack. The Vol, and hey, man, I'm sorry, officer. It's I know you're wondering why I'm wearing hard armor and Kevlar out here right now with my night vision goggles on, but are you aware of what they're anticipating to have happen with the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva? On the border of Geneva, actually. No? Why don't you come with me, sir, and we'll get you a t-shirt, and we'll sign you up. Don't you worry. This particular tool, Computer Online Forensics Evidence Extractor, COFFEE, is a forensics tool that fits on a USB flash drive for police to use in PC forensics. The program was spotted on file sharing site available for download last Monday. And at that time, it was reported that security experts were concerned that cyber criminals could analyze COFFEE and write code that it would identify and intercept it, securely wiping incriminating data from their hard drives. By now, Microsoft says, Microsoft says it's not worried. In a statement from Vol's Internet Safety Enforcement Team, Senior Attorney Richard Bosovich said, "We do not anticipate the possible availability of COFFEE for cybercriminals to download and find ways to build around to be a significant concern." So it's like, yeah, we don't care if you got it. You know, we're going to leave that gun lying around. What could possibly go wrong? You know, because criminals are stupid. And we've already covered in the previous show that criminals are stupid. No, wait, they're not. They actually... take your tools and evolve them on a 3-month cycle rather than a 3-year cycle, which is how the government works. But
right.
So that's your your daily hack for today. Did you have any stuff going on? What's happening with the pirate party, Sim?
Well, the Pirate Party of Canada has got enough signatures now to become an official party, so they're submitting their paperwork.
Oh, wow. So when are we going to hear back
on
that?
That's exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting.
It takes a little while. Some legal people on it first, because the paperwork's kind of complicated. So they need to make sure they cross their T's and dot their I's and stuff like that.
Well, I mailed in mine, eh? Like, I actually mailed my membership in.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're founding members of that shit, so. Ha-ha!
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, honestly, I think the Pirate Party is going to be the political party that gets me my space program. Honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
for sure.
Well, no, nobody else is doing it, so I may as well, step up to the plate.
Nobody
be like,
else
yeah,
seems
we're,
to be concerned.
We're,
that's
we're,
true.
Well, I'm not really so concerned about getting to space. I'm pretty confident we'll be able to do that. I'm a little bit more worried about, interdimensional beings and maybe Outworld. Is a better way to approach it. Maybe not just
outworld
space,
entities.
Outworld. Yeah, well, I'm thinking about that. Like, as everybody knows I dive, right? So, I mean, really, if you're going to train to be an outworld environment, scuba diving is probably one of the best ways to do it, I would think. So maybe...
Oh, for sure.
That's,
yeah.
Well, that's what...
Unknown creatures of the deep? Yeah.
Well, you remember when I posted that link on my Twitter account where I was looking at that base that was like that island and it had like the boathouse on it and it was all like remote? We talked about it on the show. It was gorgeous.
Yes.
And it was for pretty cheap, like 1.5 or something. It was ridiculous, right?
For what it was? Oh, yeah, cheap.
It's like mega sex. So you go up there, you look at that, and I'm thinking, okay, so there's my barracks over there. There's the food house. Okay, we got that. We got the chow. I can crew up, 150 guys in here. We got the ranges. We got the boats. We got everything all set up. So what are we doing? What are we actually planning for? What is the purpose of the quest here?
Why are we all shaving our heads?
And the reason why, I think, is that there's something noble about, going forth and exploring, being an explorer. And there's not many things left to explore. This herein lies the problem. But when we start bringing about the idea of other dimensions and other worlds, and you cross that with, sort of a special forces reconnaissance team outlook, so you have a little bit of Vavrick there. And a lot of Sean there. You could probably come up with, Special Forces 1st Earth Battalion Space Hippie Seals. That's what I'm thinking. That's sort of the goal. I'm going with power armor, of course, and genetically engineered two-headed cats. But that's the that's the plan, in as far as I see it. And that's what you're helping with today by listening to this show. That's all we got for you today. But don't worry. We'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast. Brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to the show, please distribute. Give the show to someone you think might think it's funny, especially if they got a lot of time to kill. Maybe they're a security guard. Security guards love this show. It's a fact. And apparently a lot of truckers do too. So if we can take over the security guard net and the trucker net, we could get the security guards talking to the truckers. And well, if the security guards and the truckers wind up on the same page, well, that's pretty much the infrastructure of the United States right there, conquered. Anyway, if you can donate, though, rather than contributing to my global domination plans, please do so by clicking on the donate tab on any part of the Rant Media website. Or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1WO. No digital baptisms this week, but let me know if you want one. And, of course, I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, check out some Psytrance. And, of course, I'm going to send out a big track here from my boy Sight Unheard, who just, can't seem to get it sorted out for what he's good at. This is for you, man. This is for you. This is Maintained by Onyx, okay? And I this particular track I find is really good for everyone who's got, some sad stuff, because it's just whenever I'm feeling really, kind of bummed out, I listen to some really hardcore, angry rap, and I always winds up making me laugh. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm, I get all kind of office space about it where I'm, in my car, and I'm like, yeah! I love it. I think it's great. And Onyx is great. I mean, they're classic. They really are. They're super classic. if you don't love them, they are the best of at what they do. This particular style of rap is awesome sauce in so many different languages. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. Simi, have you got anything else?
No, that's good.
All right, buddy. Well, until next time, that's what server said. End of line.
Yo. Bang Tank. Yeah. I wanna shout to all the niggas down to their last meal. On some starving shit. With less than motherfucking traps in your pocket. You know what I'm saying, God? Maintain.
Yeah, I wanna give a fat shout out to motherfucking nothing. Nobody going nowhere. Ain't spit with your mouth and shit. Check it out. Get some motherfucking line. Just get high. Check it, yo. Maintain.
Hold it down.
You know what I'm saying, nigga? Even if you ain't got no hope. You at the end of your rope. Shit, you figure you ain't got nothing to lose, but everything to gain by putting a bullet in your brain. Maintain.
Yeah, I like to give a motherfucking shout out to my uncle